This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning. It's good to be back at the normal time slot. A couple weeks ago, could not make it. Had some family issues with my wife, and so now she's getting better. And, of course, last week we had the Hall of Fame, but we were able to squeeze in a two-hour show and have a great time talking about the Hall of Fame as we awaited word on who was going to be in and who was going to be out. So we've got plenty to talk about. Of course, give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. But let's get started with some headlines. Well, yesterday, big signing by Jimmy Garoppolo. He gets a five-year deal, $137.5 million. I was able to talk to him a little bit yesterday, absolutely elated about how quickly this thing came together. And so you can see right now that the 49ers are trying to get better. Yesterday was an important day in some regards because several players on the Seahawks got portions of their salary guarantee, the main one being Cam Chancellor. With the injury guarantee that he has and the fact that he's injured, he gets $6.8 million guaranteed, and so no move to cut him or anything like that. In fact, I doubt very much if they do cut him. As far as other ones, Bobby Wagner got $2 million. Doug Baldwin got over $4 million. Same thing with Russell Wilson. You know, you knew those guys were going to be on the roster anyway. Trevon Boykin, at least his charges from that arrest last year, now have been dropped, so he's been cleared. Baseball, of course, you've got the pitchers and catchers reporting on the 14th, so that's just around the corner. Big game for the Huskies tonight. They take on Oregon State on the road. Oregon State in there with a 12-11 record, and after the bad loss that these Huskies had at Oregon, by 26 points, they need to bounce back. They're 17-7. They're 7-4 in the Pac-12. Big game, because if they can get the split on the road, at least right now in this two-game Oregon stretch, still in good chance right now to make the NCAA tournament. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get together with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good to hear the good news about your wife. She's doing better. Good deal.
Still a battle. Long way to go, but we are fighting the battle, and she's getting stronger.
You're in my prayers, my friend. You know you're in my prayers.
Appreciate it.
But, hey, talking about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Two wide receivers, Terrell Owens and Randy Moss.
Yeah, did we do good on that one?
Yeah. I mean, Terrell is due up. I mean, if you look at the numbers that he has produced over the years, I think statistically, isn't he like second overall?
Yeah, right, over 16,000 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Randy Moss, I agree to cold heartedly with that guy. I mean, say enough. I mean, he was a freak of nature when he came on the scene.
Really was.
So, I mean, anybody that you feel that might have gotten snubbed?
Well, because again, we say no to 10 each year. And the way it kind of worked, I mean, four offensive linemen made the 10, and they all took votes away from each other, which is kind of sad, but it's just a reality. And so, for example, Steve Hutchinson and Kevin Mawai, both I think are deserving. I think they were probably right on the borderline of getting in. Same thing for Alan Faneca. I mean, it was going to be a little bit tougher for Tony Boselli. Boselli, of course, is Hall of Fame worthy. But here he is. He's got 91 regular season starts, 96 games in his career. And he's going against guys that have played 200 and had like 7, 8, 9 Pro Bowls. So, he's still going to be in the mix, but it's going to take him a little bit longer, I think, to get in. Then John Lynch fell a little bit short. I was happy that Brian Dawkins got in. Isaac Bruce, I think, deserves a little bit more consideration. We'll see how that goes. And next year, again, it becomes tough because when you take in first-year guys, Ray Lewis, of course, being a first-year guy, Randy Moss being first-year, it makes it tough because next year, Tony Gonzalez, Ed Reed are two of the ones that are going to be up. And, they've got a great chance. They probably should be first ballot. And, that's going to be very difficult to hold them back. And so it only leaves, three spots. And Champ Bailey's going to be up. So I think there's going to be three first ballots, which means if you're going to be Hutchinson, Mawai, John Lynch, I mean, it's kind of tight to try to get in there.
Yeah, it definitely is. As it goes on, I mean, it looks like the NFL, as every year it gets a little tougher and tougher to get some of the older guys within that situation to get picked up. Like you say, Mawai, Faneca, and those guys, and Hutchinson, those are some real good offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
I mean, you know, Kevin Maguire, I think he played what? He played what? 16 years. You know? At that one position? I mean, you know, it's going to be tough. Mr. Clayton, what do you think about that Alex Smith signing, a trade that went with Kansas City to Washington?
Kind of interesting, you know, because what's interesting about it is that, you know, the Redskins took what price they wanted to pay a quarterback. You know, so, for example, they knew that they didn't want to go to $28, $29 million for Kirk Cousins. They were always trailing him in offers by $2 to $3 million a year, every year. And so, like, for example, when he was a franchise guy at 19.9, they were offering 16. When he was a franchise guy at 23.9, they were offering 21. So it just didn't seem like they wanted to go to where that franchise average was, and naturally so Cousins goes. And so they wanted to pay 23.5 up from the 21, and so they make the trade. I think they get a good player. Sure, he's a little bit older at 34. I think they can get maybe 3 years out of him. You know, they probably could get more years out of Cousins, but they just didn't want to go to that price.
Now, how fast can they dump Alex Smith if things doesn't work? Are they locked in a little hard on that?
Yeah, but again, we don't know the structure of the contract because technically the contract can't be put in until March 14th. So that we don't know.
Well, so what is Kirk Cousins' value out on the open market right now?
Well, it's 27.5 for Jimmy Garoppolo, who's had 7 starts in his career. Then it's certainly going to be much more for, Kirk Cousins, so I'd say 28, 29 million.
Wow. And as soon as right now, would you put Cleveland in that market for him?
Yeah, I would, but I would say he's not going to go there. Remember, he has a choice. You know, if he has a choice between Denver, the New York Jets, maybe Buffalo, you know, maybe a couple teams. I don't know about Jacksonville, but is he going to go to
Arizona?
A team that's been 1-31?
Carson Palmer's gone.
Yeah, I was like, Arizona might be in the mix too. You're right. But, is he going to go to a team that's going to be that bad? No, that's true.
Makes sense. You don't want to. It's not worth going over there and getting broken up.
No,
that makes sense. You know, I'm just assuming that Cleveland under Hugh Jackson and his boys, they can't go nowhere else but up. I mean, you're below the barrel. You're not at the bottom of the barrel. You're under the barrel.
You gotta go up.
You gotta have an opportunity to go up and accelerate. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, you brought up a good point. Is it okay?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy is a. I think, you know, he's done great so far. He's won every game. I mean, if he would have had a 16-game season last year, he would be projected to throw for, like, 4,900 yards. That's not bad.
Not bad at all. No, he's undefeated as a starter, right?
7-0, yeah.
Yeah, he's undefeated as a starter. Now, coming into the new year now, under the 49ers, under Kyle Shanahan, getting the whole repertoire of the offensive playbook and everything, you project to see him do better this year.
I think he's going to do well. Again, I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they're a playoff team maybe in 2019. Too much to do. There's too much building that has to come on that roster, and that's where I think they're going to get themselves a little bit in trouble because, again, it's like there's so much to do.
I think they're missing a lot of depth.
Right, because they don't have depth. I mean, what, they had like 39 new players, and so what you're talking about is that, 14 players from the old roster, and you know there's going to be even more change. So I think that's going to be difficult. But overall, I like the way they're going. And, again, that shows you how tough this division is becoming because you already see the rise of the Rams. You know the Arizona's going to take a step back. San Francisco's on the rise, and now the Seahawks are in transition.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Speaking of the offseason, it started already with the coaching carousel. What do you think about that Josh McDaniel situation in Indianapolis?
It's horrible. I mean, what he did to the assistant coaches that he tried to hire, what he did to the Cardinals, and what he did to himself. By pulling out like that, there's not an owner in the National Football League that can put any trust in him. And so because of that, I think he's going to have difficulty getting any kind of job outside of the Patriots. You know, for example, Bob Lamont, the agent who negotiated the contract, fired him, and fired him rightfully so. He fired him a couple years ago. I'm talking about the agent firing the client. How rare is that? And so with that in mind, you know, you'd have to think that, remember, Bob represents about 10 general managers. So it's that memory is going to be there. It's not going to go away. And, of course, you know, Jim Irsay is never going to endorse him for what he did. So I think that he made a strategic mistake. If he had this kind of doubt, don't agree to it. And he agreed to it. That's bad.
I know. I know it's sad because you know you pretty much got a gentleman's handshake out of him saying that he was going to be committed to the Colts, you know, mm-hmm. and then the turnaround and doing about face like that, that does put a damper on you, especially if you're a team that's looking to hire a new young offensive minded coach. Would you look at him?
I'd say no. No, I'd say right now you can't trust him. I mean, you know, hey, it's different if it's like, okay, you know, here's Bill Belichick, and he didn't want to do this, and he didn't want to do that. Well, you look at I mean, again, that's where Belichick was lucky because he did get another chance. But, I mean, look at Josh McDaniels in Denver. He was a disaster. When he was an offensive coordinator in the Rams, all he did was get Sam Bradford beat up. And so you look at those two things, and it's like, okay, he gets back to the Patriots. You know, he becomes a little bit better of a people person. He communicates better, but now he does this. It's career damaging. I mean, that's one I think it's going to be very, very hard to bounce back from.
Definitely. It's career suicide in some
right.
ways, Mr. Clayton.
I agree. Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Mr. Clayton. Good to hear you on the radio, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, John. We've missed you the last 2 weeks.
I know. Hall of Fame and had something to do with my wife here, so it's good to be back.
Indeed. Yeah, lots to talk about, John, first and foremost. Congratulations on being the Keith Jackson recipient for 2018, John.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you bless us all with your diligence and fairness and kindness and just keen insights into the game we all love, John.
Oh, well, thank you. It was a fun night. I mean, very humbling night. Really love the fact that you know, they take just such good care of you, and having Richard Sherman as a presenter. I mean, man, it was an honor.
Well, John, we all know you're just the best. So, are you surprised by the two linebackers that were chosen for the Hall of Fame inductees? I mean, I know that you know, Ray Lewis was going to get in. I was a bit surprised that Urlacher got in, though.
Not really, no. I thought that, you know, what happens a lot of times is that you have the, you know, the moving parts. And so, for example, when you have four offensive linemen in the top 10, they take votes away from each other. And so, consequently, you know, that opens the door for somebody to slide in. You know, I thought in some ways that's what happened with, you know, Jason Taylor last year. And, of course, I was happy about that because Jason went to my high school. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you can just kind of get in the right situation, because when you have one position like that, I mean, we had 5 in the 15 that were offensive linemen. And so then, you know, you're trying to whittle it all down in that. And when they take votes away from each other, that gets, you know, stronger chances that the other guys like Brian Dawkins and Urlacher and Tio can get in. So I thought it was a strong class. I still hope and hope that something good happens as we go for both Mawai and Hutch, because I think both deserve to get in, and I think they will get in. But again, sometimes we only have 5 spots.
Yes, indeed. I concur with that, along with JB's assessment on Mawai. He was dominant.
Yeah.
And Hutch was great, too. You guys mentioned earlier this week, I think with Danny David Moore, you know, the folks that have crossed over from basketball to football, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Julius Peppers, you know, all great athletes and all deserving to possibly get into the Hall of Fame someday. You know, Randy Moss, by the way, and Michael Vick were great state high school champions for basketball. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Randy Moss. And I think Michael Vick was with Allen Iverson in Virginia.
Wow.
On the same team, John. Amazing, huh?
That is amazing.
I know. John, what a great Super Bowl that was, huh?
It was fantastic.
I know.
I mean, from the opening drive, I mean,
yes.
Everything was action all the way through.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that the now defunct Tuck rule was not invoked for Brady here.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, and he really did show his age, John, don't you think? I mean, he should have laid out for that trick play they had.
Well, that was stupid. I mean, that was just a bad play. I mean, you're taking a 40-year-old quarterback who just had 10 stitches in his thumb, and you're wanting him to catch a pass on third down in a situation where if it doesn't work, then they get the ball in good field position. Ridiculous. It was just dumb.
Yeah. You guys talked about the Josh McDaniel thing. I mean, John, I am with you entirely. You know, what are any relationships built on? you know, relationship between employer and employee, between husband and wife, between daughter and mother, you know, best friends. It's all mm-hmm. based on one word, John. It's called trust.
Right.
And this guy doesn't have that any longer, John.
I mean, it's hard. Because, again, I know that he spent the last several years, last 5-6 years, trying to build back his reputation and was able to do that to some degree. But now you can see that he's totally blown it. It's now all out of whack.
I agree. And, you know, and with all due respect to Dave Wyman, I mean, he was just saying it's a business decision. You know that line in The Godfather, John Wayne, look, this isn't personal. This is business, right?
Right.
To me, that is just an excuse for what he really wanted to do to begin with. You know, and so I don't think it was a business thing. I think it was really Josh just being kind of a jerk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what else could it be?
Well, again, he's the one to pay the price, but also look at the damage he did to several other people.
$5 million in salary cap space. And what are the prospects for a free agency and cornerback position this year, John?
It's not bad. I mean, it's not a great cornerback. I mean, you figure that Breland from, you know, from Washington is going to be up in the mix right now. You know, you got Malcolm Butler, who's not going to go back, obviously, to the Patriots. It's not a great cornerback market.
What the heck happened there?
What's that?
What the heck happened there, John?
again, I think, you know, that's where Bill Belichick is making it very tough because, you know, what he did is that, you know, he didn't tell anybody. And so the players were mystified. You know, you've got Malcolm Butler crying. All those things were terrible, and, you know, it hurt them. They needed that cornerback play. I mean, the only cornerback that did anything was Stephon Gilmore, particularly in the second half when he was covering and did shut out Alshon Jeffrey. But after that, it was horrible.
Right. I think it was Rowe who they put in there to replace
right.
him. And you know, John, he is not the cornerback Malcolm Butler is. I mean,
no.
I just, I'm mystified. And he's, you know, Belichick, and give the guy credit, he's sticking to his guns, you know, for his decision. But still, people need to know more information.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes Belichick is not the most, not the best at disclosure, as you well know.
Right.
I just think it's really a sad thing. It's a sad testament to you know, how to treat players. And what that says about that organization, that's not a, those aren't good optics, John.
No, I agree. No, it's a bad one. And I think that, it's one that, is going to, you know, it's going to linger because I think the players, I mean, you saw the way they reacted to Malcolm Butler's statement, you know, they were saying, you know, giving like signs and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, it's going to be a costly one. But again, cause it's such a big, big day. And a big, and of course, you have these chances, and you never know when you're going to get them back. But no, it's horrible.
Right. Now, you got some other unrestricted free agents, John, from what I can gather. The Texans, Jonathan Joseph, Prince Akumanara, who else? Brett Grimes. Those mm-hmm. are some cornerbacks out there that would be on the market, don't you think, John?
Yeah, but again, it's like, okay, you know, they hit the market, and they, you know, Sean Smith, that didn't work out. I mean, you're better served when you draft them.
Right.
And again, they've got to be cautious. Now, remember, I mean, they're in the same boat as they were a year ago. Sure, they have cap room, but they don't have cash. And so they have to save money for Khalil Mack to give him a big deal, just like they had last year with Derek Carr. You know, and Derek Carr was good enough to help them out in the sense that, you know, they were able to, you know, come back and, you know, get Gabe Jackson done at $11 million a year. But what do you think of the retirement of Mike Tice?
Well, that's a good point, John. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you know, the players don't know how to be coached anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, what? They know how to be coached. You just got to be able to reach them, and you got to be able to, you know, talk to them in a language that I think, you know, because I'm in the teaching profession, and believe me, I have my challenges. But for heaven's sakes, John, you've got to make a connection. And I think Tice is one of the better ones at doing.
I agree.
He played the game. He's been a head coach. He's been in the trenches like those people that he coaches. I mean, it's not like he's trying to teach wide receivers, for heaven's sake.
Right.
You know? So I was just really perplexed to hear that. And maybe this is just his way of saying, I'm done.
Yeah. You can get frustrated. Hey, Raider Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John, take care.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rashid in Bothell. Hey, Rashid.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
First of all, congratulations
for
the Keith Jackson Award. What an honor to be associated with the name Keith Jackson, just as
totally
it is, and the award. But I just had a question, like a comment and a suggestion and a question. So I'll go with a comment. But John, I really wanted to know, like, I've seen you as, like, a thorough professional, but one thing that comes across in your conduct and your shows and your presentation is the humility, and I'm sure, like, you had mentors who taught you that and stuff, and you see that it's not, it's kind of a lost art or a lost trait in journalists today, especially what's happening with Ron Borges and stuff. So who was the biggest influence in your career in terms of, like, conducting yourself as a professional and, like, this humility that comes across all the time?
You know, a lot of it, I guess, the humility is myself, because that's the way I've always been. You know, I've learned so much from Will McDonough, the late Will McDonough, who, you know, taught me so much at owners' meetings and Hall of Fame. You know, he was such a great guy to educate me on that. And obviously, he was a mentor in the sense that one of the first newspaper guys that got into television and, you know, was fortunate enough to follow that model. So Will McDonough was a big influence. Certainly back in Pittsburgh, one of the columnists, Phil Music, was very important. He taught me so much. Pat Livingston, a columnist back at the Pittsburgh Press, learned a lot from him. You know, I was so lucky through college because I had 25 jobs in the media through college. And so worked with different people on, like, Howard Balzer at Sporting News. I was doing that stuff in my late teens. And so yeah, I've been so fortunate to have so much. And I guess, you know, when you start out and you're the youngest guy in the room, because now I'm 17, 18 years old, and, you know, here's all these top writers and that, and you have to be humble like that. And so I think that I mean, being a young person that was so fortunate to be able to start young allowed me to be able to, I think, you know, learn humility, because, I mean, you can't go in there and be big bravado when, you know, here you are trying to be somebody that's young getting into the business. And so I think being young, that's helped. And of course, it's great just having the success or whatever you want to call whatever I've done and just been able to do that. Loved it.
Oh, it's well earned. Professor, I have a suggestion about Earl Thomas. I don't know what's your take on it. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks, I'll sit with Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should not extend. They have to see how he plays.
Right.
But I can talk to Earl Thomas and say, you're making good money. Let's make a deal. You come, you for the OTAs and everything. Your salary is guaranteed and stuff anyway. And just we won't franchise you, and you don't hold out and stuff. And so once the year is over, you are free to go out and check the market. And if you want to match it, we'll match it. Or so that will give him a lot of leverage and stuff. And that's kind of a win-win situation, I was thinking, because you don't want him holding out. You cannot start this next year with a holdout from a player like Earl Thomas.
Well, and then Richard Sherman was saying the other day, he doesn't think that Earl will hold out. I mean, you kind of get the idea. And you have to gauge it, because what you don't want is that distraction. You need Earl Thomas as a player.
Exactly.
And if he doesn't want to be here, that's a different story. If he wants to be here, yeah, it's going to cost $13, $14 million. But I agree. I mean, you kind of wait, try to see how this season goes, because you've got so many adjustments. And what you don't want to do is, you know, commit so much as he gets older, unless you really think he's going to be able to play the 3, 4, 5 years it's going to be necessary. So that one's going to be held up for a little bit. You know, we know that Cam Chancellor now he may be on the roster on the PUP, but that's just a technical thing right now. It does buy him time to try to come back, but you know, you got to keep as many parts as you possibly can, and that's the challenge that I think John Snyder and Pete Carroll are going to have this offseason.
Yeah, and finally, John, about Cam Newton, I was looking at his salaries.
Yeah.
He makes 15, 16, and 17 million in the next 3 years. He did sign, I would say, a kind of a below, like he was 21 million a year.
Yeah, but that was right. That was right in market. I mean,
but now going forward, 3 years at those salaries and stuff, and the amounts of hits he takes.
Yeah,
I mean, like I don't know who his agent was, and that's why I think Russell Wilson made it a wise choice of going for a 4-year extension instead of 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't ask for an extension. And if I'm Cam Newton, I'm looking at the league and stuff. I'm making half and the amount of hits he takes. I think that's a very, especially with the ownership change, the general manager change. So, like, I think Cam Newton is looking at all this money going floating around and thinking, oh, my God, I made a mistake and stuff.
Yeah, the extra year does hurt him, but again, ultimately, he'll get another contract, and it's going to be huge. Rishi, great to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Pitchers and catchers report on the 14th. Gary Hill gets the promotion from now taking over Kevin Kremen as the producer-engineer of the Mariners Radio Network. He comes up next. It's John Clayton.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
The magical sound of the words pitchers and catchers reporting always give optimism because, you know, spring is coming, baseball coming, and joining us right now, Gary Hill, who's now taking over for Kevin Kremen as the producer-engineer of the Mariner Radio Network. First off, Gary, congratulations.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. No, I'm really excited. I love those words, too, pitchers and catchers. It's just the best. It means baseball is right around the corner. And congratulations to you on the Keith Jackson Award. That's great.
Oh, thank you.
Well-deserved.
I am so flattered by that. I mean, what an honor, what a night. And then, you know, Richard Sherman being gracious enough to do the introduction. It was really a special, special thing.
Yeah, so great. You deserve it. You deserve it, my friend. Well,
thank you. So now, what are you looking forward to now once everything starts going? Because I guess in some ways the positive is, you know, most of the roster spots are pretty well taken. I mean, what just really that eighth reliever role, the backup catcher role, and maybe one or two other spots. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's a very different camp than in years past. I mean, most of the jobs are locked up. So basically you go through camp and you want guys to stay healthy, you want guys to get their work in, and obviously you want the Mariners to get off to a great start. I mean, I think that's the key. They've stumbled out of the gates a couple of times, and I think it would be key to get off to a good start this year. So that's basically what we're looking at through the camp. Stay healthy, get your work in, and then, as you mentioned, you pointed out some of the jobs we'll be looking at, but there's just not that many openings on the roster this year.
Which I guess is a good thing because now it's a matter, it's like, okay, if some opportunity is there, they can build on it and, you know, make a move or two. Obviously, they're pretty well, I think, spent out as far as what they're doing. And I guess the aggressiveness that Jerry DePoto had last year of making moves for pitchers, you know, trying to get to Mike Leake and Erasmo Ramirez, we'll see how that works in as far as the overall success of the team. But you can see what the strategy was.
No, absolutely. And I think Leake in particular was such a key acquisition. Especially, you look at it now, and guys that throw 200-plus innings, it's becoming more and more rare. Leake is a guy, one of four pitchers the last six seasons who has made 30-plus starts. It's just not something that happens very often. He is so durable, and to have a guy to give you 30-plus starts in a season is so valuable right now. He can eat up innings. He's been very effective. He was great in the last month as well. He is going to be very key to this rotation, I think.
And I would imagine that also the key is making sure that Felix Hernandez has had a great offseason.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, he's going to be key as well. And I think when you look at this Mariners team, I think you feel great about the bullpen. They have a ton of live arms back there. I think you feel really good about the lineup and the offense. I think they're going to score runs. I think you feel good about the defense. I think the question mark is in the rotation and mostly about health in the rotation. And Felix is right there. Jerry DePoto talked about it on his podcast the other day, talking about Felix Hernandez and his effectiveness when he's been healthy the last couple of years. And it's been there when you look at, you peel back some of the numbers, and teams still aren't squaring up his changeup. Teams still aren't hitting his slider for the most part. You see the secondary stuff is still really good. It's just a matter of staying healthy. It's a matter of cutting down on the walks, and he can still be a very effective pitcher and get this team a ton of wins. Just got to stay healthy, and that's key when you look at how the rotation shapes up. Leak in there to give you innings, Felix, and, of course, James Paxton. The more innings you can get from Paxton as well, the better. Because he was absolutely dominant when healthy last year.
No question. Now, the thing I think is kind of interesting, Jerry DePoto brought this up and naturally had to, you know, go straight to the database to be able to figure it out. He's saying, you know, this year, and talking about free agency and how slow it's moved, and now the players are thinking collusion and all these different things. But he brought the ideas about 13 to 15, maybe 16 teams that are breaking it down and building it back up, which doesn't put them in the market for free agents because they're trying to build things up. And I started to go back and I looked and I said, oh my God, he's right. I mean, have you been able to break that down and try to get an impact? One, how it affects the Mariners' schedule, because that's one thing I have on my to-do list to be able to figure out. And then two, what that means as far as, you know, baseball in general, how this season's going to be. Because the way it looks, I mean, it's like baseball is almost like the AFC in football, in the sense that you have so much up and down type of teams where it's going to be thinner. You have great teams, you have good teams, and you have a lot of bad teams.
It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out this season. A lot of teams, I think, are taking their cues from what they've seen the last couple of years, what the Astros did last year, of course, winning the title, winning over 100 games, and the Cubs the year before that. Both teams have kind of broke everything down and built back up, did it through the draft, did it through the farm system. What's interesting about that strategy, I mean, a lot of things went right for both of those teams, and that's not necessarily going to happen at all times. I mean, you look at the Astros when they drafted, I mean, Carlos Correa was right there, which was ended up being so fortunate. George Springer as well. They held on to Altuve. I mean, a lot of things went their way, and the same with the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be interesting to see how this develops as we move through. Also, I think front offices are kind of looking at free agency the same way. You have a lot of kind of young, dynamic front offices, and when you look at free agency and when guys become available in their 30s and going long-term, I mean, there's a lot of questions around that. Of course, I think when we look at free agency next year, it may be a different story. When you see guys like Harper and Machado, I have a feeling that those guys won't have a problem getting long-term deals. But here we are on the cusp of pitchers and catchers reporting, and there's still a lot of good players out there available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, guys that have wars in the mid-twos and high-twos, and it's like, wow. I mean, that's going to create, and again, you can see there's a lot of anger, I mean, to a point right now where the Players Association is thinking about having a combine for all these players.
Yeah, that will be very strange to see kind of a camp of free agents, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see when these guys sign. I mean, they will find jobs eventually, Hosmer and Moustakas, and go down the list. The question, J.D. Martinez, I mean, there's so many impact guys available out there, and we'll see. It's even hard to, at this point, kind of break down predictions and things like that because there's so many guys that could tip the balance that are still out there.
Right. No question about it. But I don't know, does that impact the Mariners' schedule at all? Do they get, I mean, what division do they get in the National League? And how many of the rebuild teams are in the National League that they
Well, I think for this year it's not going to impact them very much because you look at the AL West and it kind of is what it is. You have the Astros that, I mean, they look fantastic. You have the Angels that improved a great deal. The Rangers are, they haven't made a ton of moves. They're pretty interesting when you look at what they're going to do with the rotation this year. It sounds like they may go to a six-man rotation this year. They're going to try and move Matt Bush into the rotation. They're going to give Minor a shot at the rotation as well. There's some interesting questions around the Rangers. Mariners will be playing the NL West this season, so you've got to go with the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks, of course, were really good last year, 93 wins. The Rockies were really good as well, 87 wins. Now, the Padres are kind of in that mold that you're talking about, kind of rebuilding. The Giants, despite a 64-98 season last year, they added veteran pieces. They're not tearing it down and trying to rebuild. They added veteran pieces to try and go for it again this year. I think they felt like they had some bad luck last year with the Bumgarner injury and some guys struggling. So I think they feel like they can bounce back. So I don't know how much it's necessarily going to affect the Mariners' schedule this year when the bulk of their games are coming against the AL West and, of course, matched up against the NL West as well.
What players are you looking forward to see in spring training? Obviously, the two new additions in center field and first base, you know, D. Gordon and Ryan Healy. But what other players are you looking forward to see?
Well, you mentioned the one. D. Gordon is my number one A. He not only, I think, is he very exciting offensively at the top of the lineup for the Mariners. This is a team that struggled with base running the last couple of seasons. I think he can really cause some problems for other teams on the base pass. I mean, a guy that swiped 60 bases in a season, I think he has a chance to score a ton of runs getting aboard for the middle of this order. And I'm very excited to see him in center field. We talked to Chris Prieto on the Hot Stove Show the other night, and he has been with D. Gordon a couple times already this year, and he just raves about, I mean, the guy can absolutely fly, and he's working hard at center field. I'm very anxious to see him in center field. And I think the other guy is Mitch Haniger. we saw flashes of what he can be last year. He had times where he was ridiculously good, and of course had a couple of fluke injuries along the way, but Mitch Haniger is my guy. You think about what he could be during the course of the season, and you put that together in a lineup with Gordon and Segura at the top, and then of course Cano, Cruz, Seager in the middle. I mean, that, and of course Mike Zunino as well, if he can be what we saw last year. I mean, that really lengthens the lineup and makes it a very, very tough lineup.
Yeah, and what about the chances, you know, with the pitching staff? Obviously, you know, that's the biggest question mark, the starting staff. But pulling down that 4.7 runs a game plus that they gave up last year. I mean, is it reasonable to think that that number will come down?
Well, I would think so. And part of it's going to be health. I mean, I've never seen anything like last year. And I haven't talked to anyone who has. I mean, 40 pitchers used last year and 17 starters used last year. You would think that just a little bit of health along the way would make a huge difference. And I think it's why they added the extra arms to the bullpen. And they have a lot of good arms in the bullpen. And I think they're going to have the bullpen carry a lot of the load. I mean, I think when we move through this thing, sure, they'll let Paxton go, you know, 6-7 innings. They'll let Leak go as well from time to time. But I think for the most part, they won't have the starters face a lineup for the third time through and just hand it over to the bullpen and try and finish off ball games. I think that's the strategy going into the season, which I think would lead to that number coming down. But again, it's going to be health. I think that is the big key.
Oh, no question. And that's it was a bad season for injury last year, and
yeah,
it really affected everything.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was unbelievable. It really was. In fact, everyone should quiz their friends, see if they how many different pitchers they can name from last year, including Carlos Ruiz at one point. I mean, 40 different guys. It's just amazing. I mean, no one plans for that. I mean, you plan depth. You know, you look at during the course of the season that you'll have to use 7, 8, 9, 10 starters. That's baseball this day and age. But I mean, 17 is really, that stretches any team thin. No, there's no team that can go 17 deep in terms of rotation.
Incredible. Well, Gary, congratulations on the promotion. Looking forward to hearing you. And when do you get down there?
I'm going down the 21st, so right around the corner. And games start Friday the 23rd. And I can't wait. It's hard to believe pitchers and catchers in just 4 days. I'm so pumped.
It is remarkable. Hey, thank you as always, and have a good time down there.
Anytime, John. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
All right, Gary Hill, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Load up the phone lines at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Yeah, we're going to do some interesting times right now. Again, we had the guarantee day, I guess you want to call it, guarantee Friday, 5 days after the Super Bowl, where contracts are guaranteed. Larry Fitzgerald, for example, his $11 million base salary was guaranteed. And so that it doesn't mean that he's going to collect it because he has to decide if he wants to play or not play. That's still going to be underway. So overall, lots of business things going on. Combine coming up in a couple weeks in Indianapolis. That's always going to be fascinating because you just never know what's going to happen on the combine because, what players are going to go. And it's going to be interesting. Again, you can see with the quarterback movement that's already happening that, a lot is on the line right now. A lot is going on with the fact that you already had a trade in January, which is very, very rare. You just don't have that type of stuff. And then you've got the, an ability right now to make some deals and get some contracts done. And, naturally the signings are going to be tough because the expenses are so big. You've got so much that's going to be on the line with that. So want to get your reaction to that, get your reaction so far of what you thought the of the way this is going to go, what changes you anticipate for this team. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby had some flight problems, so he will not be joining us. So we will be taking calls through the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll try to continue along. We'll get a Seahawk update with Michael Sean Duggar in the 11 o'clock hour. But again, it's just you and me here. We've got phones, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load up those phone lines. And, of course, one thing that's going to be kind of fun, too, big basketball game for the Huskies tonight against Oregon State, a game that is a must-win just to try to maintain the success and everything that way things are going for them, because things have been fun. I mean, I think that you can see this team has been better than anybody anticipated, is having more fun than anybody anticipated, and we is right now on path to maybe get to the NCAA tournament, which, of course, is just a remarkable accomplishment that I think nobody expected. So can they hold that up? That's why tonight's game against a 12-11 team, even though it's on the road, is so vital. They need this game. They need this victory. They need to be able to go ahead and try to get their 18th win of the season. So give us a call here at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Tell you what, let's take a break and come back. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.